I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Thursday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Pleasure to be with you on a beautiful Thursday here in the city of Houston. My name is Sean Pendergast, as you know. His name is Seth Payne. He's an original Texan. What's going on, Seth? How are you?
I was just perturbed with when we start talking trade potential and everything. I get annoyed. You and I were having a conversation about...
You don't hide your annoyance with numbers on salary cap stuff, is what I'm learning about you.
I get so frustrated that the cap has been made way more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah.
And then I start thinking about trying to explain it on the radio, and then I remember, oh, it's stupid to try to explain this stuff on the radio. Because it's hard enough when you're actually looking at a spreadsheet versus trying to explain to somebody. The NBA, I feel like the NBA has some things right, that it's easier to understand fully guaranteed contracts, but then they get into the mid-level exception and bird rights and all that stuff, so it gets complicated. I guess baseball is the purest and most simple. The only hard thing to understand in baseball is, I suppose, arbitration, and that's not all that hard to understand.
No, that's football, at least the cap is just arithmetic. It's just you got to go through the rules. The NBA cap, it's arithmetic. It's algebra is what it is. So anyway, yeah, you and I were talking during the lead up to the show here off the air, and there's all kinds of trade rumors. Not surprisingly, now trade rumors swirling around the Houston Texans. They are a team that's 1-5. Chances are, when the trade deadline arrives in early November, it's only a couple of weeks away, less than 2 weeks away. I don't know that a win over the Packers, if it were to happen this weekend, should change the outlook of what this team should be doing for the long term. And we know that for the long term, this team is kind of screwed salary cap wise and draft. I say long term, like long term in the NFL is like 2 years. But for the next couple of years, there's issues with a lack of draft choices, salary cap issues with some big contracts that were doled out. The trade deadline could provide an opportunity to remedy both of those things, depending on which players they move. And the thing that you and I were kind of going through the math on and hashing out was contracts like Whitney Mercilus and Zach Cunningham, which we don't need to go deep into the weeds on the numbers you and I were kind of nitpicking on. The bottom line is, I in the research I did, some of those contracts are a lot more tradable than I thought they were. They didn't get big signing bonuses. What makes contracts untradable is when you give big signing bonuses to guys, because then it's like your credit card bill is coming due on the salary cap.
Yeah, that's like it's like writing a check with your credit card.
Right.
One of those little convenience checks they send
you.
Oh, yeah, this is cool. It's cash right now. And then you find out, oh, no, but it's with 25% interest. And it, actually, unlike a credit card, it's due. This would be due like immediately. It's a 6-month short term loan if you were to trade, and it was a huge signing bonus, but they weren't. So I think what it ends up becoming is if you kind of change all of your assumptions about what Bill O'Brien was trying to do. Bill O'Brien was trying to win immediately. He was trying to make a bunch of big moves. He didn't really care about the future. He wanted to win now.
Yeah.
But they did a couple things right, in at least when you give Cunningham and Worthless that money. They are tradable contracts. They're more tradable than you might realize. And if Cal McNair decided, man, we need to clear some cap space for the future. We also need to get some draft picks. You can kind of move on from Bill O'Brien by saying, well, Whitney Mercilus, Zach Cunningham, even though that's new money, and even though we're going to have to take somewhat of a hit on trading them, let's just look at it like buying draft picks.
Yes.
You know, we had traded 100%. A bunch of draft picks away for Laremy Tunsil and whatnot, but now we can, and Deshaun Watson actually as well, but now we can get some of that draft pick back.
Yeah, and the cap hits all take place in a year where you're kind of flushing the year down the toilet anyways. It would all hit this year. It's not like you're getting hit in future caps. So, yeah, you're right. Like, if you start to get into the granularity of the numbers and everything, I don't know that that's something that that people want to listen to in the car as they're driving to work. You know,
yeah, like, sorry, everybody. I'm sorry, everybody. We're done with the. We're done. We'll start talking about feelings and emotions about and like Deshaun Watson sticking up for his guys after practice and all that fun stuff.
Good segue. Let's get to that right away here. Deshaun Watson. So that's when we start off by talking about the trade deadline and trade rumors. It started swirling yesterday. Seth, you and I and Landry, all of us here in the daytime lineup here on Sports Radio 610, got copied on a tweet from a listener that had a screen cap of an article about trade rumors. The account is Pro Football Chase on Instagram, and it had a four-way cut picture of the four main Texan wide receivers with a link to some trade rumors about them. That link. That Instagram post was liked by three of those four receivers, the three newest ones to the Texans. Kenny Stills, who's been here for over a year now, but Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks, who are both six games into their Texans career, they all liked that Instagram post, which got people a little worked up on social media yesterday. And I don't know if that was the genesis of the meeting that took place after practice. I do know that both Randall Cobb and Deshaun Watson did not do a great job of articulating what exactly took place yesterday with the Texans. Apparently, Romeo gathered the team around at the end of practice to address this trade deadline stuff and essentially calm everybody down and say, this is noise. Let's focus on the Green Bay Packers. This is a business. Let's all be professional about this and focus on this. Was the general gist, is my understanding of the conversation with Romeo and the team. When Deshaun was asked about trade rumors, here's how he translated what he heard to the media yesterday.
Them boys ain't getting traded. That was something that we squashed at the end of practice. It wasn't too big of a deal. So I know a lot of people probably thinking that Randall was saying he was getting traded. He's not going anywhere. Nobody's going anywhere. We're going to stick with this team and keep pushing forward. So all that stuff is just kind of something that we wanted to squash because it was a lot of noise. And, you know, people, of course, see it on social media. So he just basically squashed it and letting everyone know to just focus on ball and focus on this team.
All right, I think he in that case is Romeo Crennel in terms of addressing the team and these trade rumors.
Yeah, this is one of those things that blew up pretty big, and I was in a couple long meetings yesterday. I got out and I was so confused. I was because the first thing I saw was a text from you, which was after the J.J. Watt presser, yeah, apparently, where you said, "Yeah, no real news on the trade stuff. Doesn't seem like a big deal." I didn't realize the timeline of everything because all of the next stuff I saw was, hey, Deshaun's getting up and it's sounding like he's speaking for the entire team and right, saying that nobody's getting traded. Like basically sounding like I was very, very confused.
Yeah. I didn't mean to confuse you. I just, you know, just,
yeah,
just getting you
up
to speed.
It makes more sense just having learned, you know, various things about how it probably happened and likely happened. I think really this was a case where Deshaun still sometimes is a young guy in the league. You know, doesn't as polished as he is in some ways, he's still a younger guy. And I think there's a way to handle these kinds of things and make a statement without it being a definitive statement. Look, there will always be trade discussions.
Right.
Always. Always. The vast majority of them never see the light of day. Usually if they do, it's an intentional leak and both sides might even know about it. You know, the agent and the team might know about it. Sometimes it's not. But the trade discussions go on all the time. Conversations are had. Deshaun getting up and saying, those guys aren't getting traded, it's not like a definitive declaration that, like, hey, the buck stops here and these
right,
guys aren't getting traded.
That's how a lot of people construed it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's fair. It's
right,
fair that people construed it that
sure,
way. And that's where I think Deshaun is still, there's still some things he's learning about the league, you know? And with an actual GM, I think if there were a real GM in place,
yeah,
for instance, and a competent one, mm-hmm, like an actual non-interim GM, this is a conversation that would be had so that Deshaun wouldn't have presented that way. It ultimately ends up just being a little blip. But I think when Deshaun first spoke, it kind of felt like, holy crap, like, Deshaun's taking the reins here? Which,
yeah,
I would, if I put myself in Deshaun's shoes, I'd be kind of sick of hearing about my receivers getting traded too,
yeah,
after just being blindsided with DeAndre Hopkins. It's just, there's a different way to handle
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think, Seth, my big takeaway with this, you know, once we got clarity on what all took place at practice and everything else, and that this is not Deshaun pulling a LeBron James here and so on and so forth, my big takeaway is that I give Deshaun a pass on this because this is the first time he's ever played for a truly crappy team. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
he's, he, this, he's never been on a team, you know, it doesn't really apply in college. You don't trade guys. And then his rookie year, he was hurt by now, you know, or by week eight or whatever. He had a torn ACL. And as a rookie quarterback, he was in a different place than he is as the guy who's got a second contract and he's the leader of the team in year four. Since he became the full-time starting quarterback post-ACL, this is the first time that he's been on a bad team this close to the trade deadline before. You know what I mean? Like, this is the first time he's had to handle questions like this. I kind of give him a mulligan on it.
It's a little bit of an awakening, and to be like, oh, wait a second. Why would anybody want to break up the core of this team? Well, right. because they suck, Deshaun.
We have no draft picks. And everybody's overpaid. You know,
that's overly harsh. I think they're better than what their record says right now, but you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we're off and running on a Thursday. Payne and Pendergast with you. A lot of stuff to get into. We'll get into a little bit more later on this hour, some of the actual players that are involved in some of these rumors and how easy or difficult will they be to move? What will they fetch? What's the best possible scenario for the Texans? Up next, so let's stick with Deshaun. One big indicator of how well Deshaun Watson is playing right now, despite the team being 1-5. We'll have that for you next.
Like I said early on in this year, it's about the chemistry that we're building. It takes time. It wasn't something that was going to happen overnight, and I think he's getting a little more comfortable with all of us and understanding the way that we move and understanding the way that we're able to get open on certain plays, and just him getting through his progression and getting to guys in different situations and scenarios and us being able to make plays for him.
Kind of lost in the Texans' crappy record of 1-5 right now is that Deshaun Watson is playing some really good football. The Texans have put up back-to-back games over 30 points. And that is not something that happened routinely over the last couple of years. Happened during Deshaun's rookie year. It happened 5 games in a row back when he was playing statistically his best football. Won a bunch of games the last couple of years, but has been a little more inconsistent. But Deshaun's played really well the last few games. I think, Seth, it's going to continue this Sunday against the Packers. That's not a good defense he's going up against. So hopefully go into the bye week with a little momentum. Hopefully go into the bye week with a win. The Texans are now 300-1 to win the Super Bowl. I'm not here to I'm not here to recommend a Super Bowl bet.
Don't put us in adversity, Sean. Don't put us in adversity. I quote Taylor Lewan. Don't put us in adversity. That's God.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. He was all upset over the fact that people were pointing out that the Titans hadn't followed any of the COVID protocols.
That's right. When he ran up to the camera,
Yeah. He said, don't put us in adversity. Next week, he tore his ACL.
He's done for the year now.
He's in adversity right now.
He sure is. Texans are 300-1 to win the Super Bowl. Well, what does that mean in terms of where they fall in the league? Well, the only teams with longer odds than the Texans are Cincinnati, Jacksonville, the Giants, the Washington football team, and the Jets. 5 laughingstock teams. And the Texans are only ahead of those 5 teams on the odds board. I don't think that should be a big surprise. Now, those teams are all 1,000-1 or 2,000-1. The Texans, a mere 300-1. Here's what's interesting, Seth, and this is where just to pay off. They're 300-1 to win the Super Bowl, and they continue to plummet. They were 150-1 last week. And yet, Deshaun Watson's MVP odds have improved from 66-1 to 50-1. In a year where the Texans fell to 300-1 to win the Super Bowl, Deshaun actually, now 50-1 is still a long shot, but if you look at the trends, you know, Deshaun's individual trend is this green arrow pointing up. The Texans' team trend is this red arrow pointing down. I found that to be interesting.
Sean, that's it. I feel like I've been put in adversity, and I'm going to respond to it, just like Taylor Lewan might.
Go for it.
I'm going to put some money down on the Texans. I don't know how do I do this legally from the state of Texas. Do I have to get do a VPN thing or something and bet in New Jersey or what? That's not legal.
Since you and I miraculously don't have a sports betting website that we endorse right now, we would love one. That would be great.
Well, thanks a lot, state of Texas.
Yeah. I will get you up to speed on how you can do that during the break.
I'll take a quick trip to Vegas. I'll take a flight and
there
legally
you go.
Bet.
That's how you do it. Yeah.
How do I mattress Mac this up? Like, what would I do? I just share the winnings with our best listeners or something? That's what I'll do. I'm going to put like $1,000 on the Texans to win the Super Bowl. I wish I hadn't said that out loud. I'm going to put a certain amount of money on the Texans to win the Super Bowl.
Nobody from the IRS is up this early. It's all good.
Well, no. In my mind, I forgot. Oh, if I just put $100 down, then I'm gonna win
$30,000.
$30,000. Yeah. So that's actually a good amount. Okay, so I'll put $100 down on the Texans. This is pretty much the exact same numbers that Mattress Mack is working with. Yeah. I'll put $100 down on the Texans, and then I'll have a Payne and Pendergast quiz show where our listeners who – I'll ask questions that are only – that only longtime heavy listeners would know the answers to.
I like it.
You know, some of our running jokes and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'll go back in the day to the Mad Radio even, and the winners will share in that $30,000.
They got to earn
it. I'll have 30 winners, yeah.
They got to earn it. Look, 1-5 is 1-5. There's nothing real encouraging about that. I'll say this. Big picture, I'm really, really glad Deshaun looks like Deshaun again. There was a big part of me that was getting concerned that he was not broken. You know what I mean? Like, Deshaun, I think, is always going to, at the very least, be, you know, in that top dozen quarterbacks in the league or whatever. But he's somebody who the Texans are paying as if he's one of the top three or four guys in the league. I was concerned about long-term damage done by Bill O'Brien to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I think that if you look at a lot of the – like, I hate going to stats on a lot of this stuff because it just it doesn't always tell the whole story. And honestly, Pro Football Focus, which I really like Pro Football Focus, a lot of things they do. Their grading is always a little weird to me, and they've kind of made accommodations for that recently. But they have this list of, like, they power ranked their quarterbacks. This came out yesterday, October 21st. And I was kind of surprised to see Deshaun ranked sixth on the overall list. I think a lot of people right now would think, yeah, Deshaun's probably played, like, maybe a 10th or 11th best quarterback in the NFL. But it passes the sniff test, I think. If you look at the guys that are above Deshaun right now,
yes.
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Russell Wilson, makes sense.
Yep.
Pat Mahomes,
yep.
No biggie, right? Aaron Rodgers, last year I wouldn't have said it. This year, hell yeah, yep. He's one of the very best in the league. This might surprise some people if you haven't been paying a whole lot of attention since week 1 and 2 when everybody made all their snap judgments. Right. Tom Brady. Tom Brady, who's been dealing with a lot of injuries with his weaponry,
yep.
Who's had to deal with drops and mental errors by his receivers early on. Like, classic stuff that happens when Tom Brady is working with new receivers. All that stuff was happening, but people were acting like, oh, no, it's because of age, not because he's in a new place with mm-hmm. a new coach. He's got only 3 turnover-worthy plays. Like, yeah. He's been very careful with it, but one of them is that really ugly pick 6, so
yeah.
People thought, oh, wow.
That's exactly.
Because this is the stuff I've seen in the highlights
That's
and the
right.
lights. Anyway, he's been good. And then Ryan Tannehill is 5th, and that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
If Ryan Tannehill's big test was, I think, when Romeo Crennel went for it for the 2-point conversion, yep. And a whole lot of people said, well, yeah, Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill are tearing this team up. Of yeah. course you have to do that.
Yep.
So then Deshaun Watson's at 6. And I still thought, yeah, but boy, 6 seems high, doesn't it? Well, not really. I mean, Lamar Jackson is at 7th, and he's not having the same kind of year that he did last year.
Yeah.
It's like the Ravens, as good as they are, that offense is not the same level of explosive potency that
Where's Fitzy on there? Just curious.
Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick, who's now one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league.
That's why I'm asking.
I'm still scrolling down.
Okay.
How is he this low? He's down at Breeze at number 20, Philip Rivers at 21, Daniel Jones at 23. Oh, maybe they don't have him on here because this was out yesterday and he's not a starting quarterback
anymore. That could make sense.
Oh, poor Fitzpatrick.
Poor Fitz.
That hurts my heart.
Yeah.
He was benched for no other reason that he's not the number one pick
That's
for that
right.
team. Oh, poor kid.
Poor kid. All right. Which Texan players are teams lining up to cherry pick at the trade deadline? It's not just about getting draft picks if you're the Texans either. We'll take you through it next. Seth, we talked about how this is just new territory for a lot of these guys on the Texans, having to talk about trade rumors and getting moved, and Deshaun Watson and what he said in his press conference yesterday about them boys ain't getting traded, talking about the wide receivers and making it sound like he was the guy who was kind of calling the shots, which is not... is not the case. J.J. Watt has never had to really address trade rumors either, and certainly trade rumors involving him, but he was asked about it yesterday.
My goal since I got here was to bring a championship to the city of Houston. That remains my goal until the day I'm not a Houston Texan anymore. That will always be my goal. So that's what I'm working towards. That's what I'm working towards today, and that's what I'll work towards tomorrow.
Okay, so there. That's JJ. Well, that's what I was texting you about yesterday. It's for those who don't know. Yeah. I texted Seth yesterday during JJ's press conference. I said JJ said some interesting things. We'll get to what he said about the tackling in the 7 o'clock hour, kind of echoing something you and I were saying. But I said, yeah, he was asked about the trade rumors, but you know, no big deal. Ben, why don't you get what Deshaun said ready? Because there's probably people getting in their cars right now who didn't hear it earlier. But I got out of a meeting
and I got a text that basically said, oh yeah, all this trade stuff is no big deal.
Well, I said, I said JJ talked about it and he didn't really give an answer that was, you know, that was controversial at all. He was very generic with his answer. And then you saw the maelstrom of tweets and things like that about Deshaun saying this.
Them boys ain't getting traded. That was something that we squashed at the end of practice. It wasn't too big of a deal. So I know a lot of people probably thinking that Randall was saying he was getting traded. He's not going anywhere. Nobody's going anywhere. We're going to stick with this team and keep pushing forward. So that was all that stuff is just kind of something that we wanted to squash because it was a lot of noise. And, you know, people, of course, see it on social media. So he just basically squashed it and letting everyone know to just focus on ball and focus on this team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. After the show yesterday, I was packed with all these meetings and doctor's appointments and everything. And I didn't, that was the first I was hearing of any of this. I hadn't read the Jason Lockin for a piece or anything like that. I didn't know about the three receivers on the Texans liking an Instagram post about Texans receivers getting traded. I knew nothing of this. The first thing I knew of anything involving trades was Deshaun Watson getting up and sounding like he was the general manager of the team.
That's what that like sounded
declaring
like, yeah.
That guys weren't getting traded. And I think, yeah, after all the dust settled, and I mean, that's what it sounded like, right? That sounded like Deshaun squashing a rumor like he was the guy in charge of
100%.
Trades and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds a lot more like Romeo Crennel addressed the team afterwards, told them to focus on, you know, the task at hand, yada, 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 all the boilerplate stuff you tell guys about trade rumors and discussions. I think where maybe the learning moment is Deshaun could have conveyed that in a different way without making it sound like he was like putting his foot down and saying these guys won't get traded. The acting general manager of the team, Jack Easterby, I'm not comfortable with him executing trades or receiving the calls, but he also would be an idiot if he didn't take calls about anything right now. So I don't think that anybody's like if somebody called the Texans and said, "Hey, we'll give you a first rounder for Kenny Stills." The Texans are trading Kenny Stills.
Right,
like that.
Right.
That's an extreme example.
Yeah.
But these trades will happen if somebody comes to him with a good proposal, no matter what Deshaun says at this point.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. So you mentioned the Lockham Fora piece. Do we do our? I think we need like a disclaimer for any time we bring up a Lockham Fora piece, like an in the can disclaimer from Voice Guy, like Payne and Pendergast are about to discuss a Jason Lockham Fora piece. Truth discretion is advised. Yeah,
I've got a long history of trying to figure out like how valid a Jason Lockham Fora story is, right. And generally what I look at him is as it's kind of like spotting a fire from 2 miles away. You don't quite know what it is, but Lockham Fora goes ahead and says, oh, yeah, that's a chemical fire.
Right.
And then you get up close to it and you realize, like, oh, no, it's actually a tire fire mm-hmm. or something. It, like, he gets the smoke. He cites the smoke, and then he gets a lot of details wrong. And a lot of times, you know what's funny is, Sean, he'll write articles, and he'll get basic details wrong that aren't even about the story itself.
Right.
Like, a few weeks ago when he reported about the confrontations between Texans players and coaches and whatnot, there ended up being some truth to that. But in that same article, he also talked about how the Texans had let Eric Reed walk out the door as a player a couple years ago. Eric Reed has never played for the Texans.
That's right.
Like a couple years before that, he said that DeAndre Hopkins was in his contract year when DeAndre Hopkins was not in his contract year. He gets very basic information wrong.
Yeah. So here is the latest that he wrote for CBSSports.com, Jason Lockham Fora. The title is, "Will Texans Trade Off Key Pieces Ahead of Deadline? Rival Teams Eyeing Houston as Potential Trade Partner." Now, the headline and the gist of the article passes a smell test in that the Texans are a very logical team for good teams to be calling up because they're a 1-5 team that does have some talented players on it. And they have some talented players that are on very tradable contracts if you're the Texans. Contracts that are far more tradable than I thought they were. And here's what I mean by that. Lockham Forest says in the article, Seth, that people are advising Cal McNair to start trading off some assets before the deadline. Quote, in particular, GMs and personnel execs have pointed to Whitney Mercilus, Zach Cunningham, Bradley Roby, Darren Fells, Brandon Cooks, and Will Fuller as potential targets. So when I saw that, my initial reaction was, well, it's just ludicrous to have Mercilus and Cunningham in there at the very least, because they and Roby too, because they just signed new contracts this past offseason. And typically when guys sign new contracts, the size of the contracts that those guys signed, they come with monster signing bonuses that make it almost salary cap fiscally irresponsible to trade them. Just, you know, in 10 seconds or less, when you trade somebody and you gave them a big signing bonus, you, the cap hit for that, for the signing bonus that would normally get spread out over the life of the contract, all gets pushed into the current year. What I learned in doing the research on this is that Whitney Mercilus and Zach Cunningham and Bradley Roby, too, did not get very big signing bonuses. They got a lot of guaranteed money, but the guarantees, the bulk of the remaining guarantees are the guarantees for their salaries next year. So whoever's trading, and maybe that diminishes their trade value a little bit, but whoever would trade for Mercilus, Cunningham, and Roby would be on the hook for them, excuse me, in 2021, and the Texans would get a cap hit this year of, I'm just not going to get into the numbers because I think it messes with people when they're driving in. Just know that the cap hits for trading Mercilus, Cunningham, and Roby in particular are not nearly as daunting as I thought they would be. They're very tradable guys. The question becomes, what does the league think of these guys? What kind of draft capital would they bring back? Are you, as you look at these names, Seth, which ones do you look at and go, okay, well, that I would take some, I take phone calls on all of them, obviously, but which of these names, because Watt's name is not in Lockham Four's article, which of these do you think might fetch the best package for the Texans if they floated them out there?
I think part of it right now is if you're selling off players, then part of it is, okay, you're conceding that you're looking towards the future, mm-hmm. and you're trying to attract the next general manager, you're trying to attract the next head coach, and you want to make it a really soft landing spot for those people. So I think anybody who's older, you start at the top almost chronologically, and I think Whitney Mercilus would be the oldest of those guys. Brandon Cooks and Darren Fells, then Brandon Cooks would be the other one. Brandon Cooks is not as old as people think he is, but he's getting up there. So I guess those three. Now Cooks is, for the same reason that it was actually a better trade than people wanted to believe at the time. Cooks was a good trade because the Rams paid all of his guaranteed money, right, all of his signing bonus. So he's at a pretty affordable salary for the quality of player he is. But that means you could also probably move him off pretty easily and get a good pick for him still. And Cooks would become a guy who's been traded for high draft picks four times
in his
career.
God, I didn't even think of that. Holy crap. Yeah. You trade him, he'll be playing for his fifth team, and he's a good player. That's wild.
He's like No, this will sound misogynistic. Never mind. Go ahead. I'd say Will Fuller is the other one that I think, because Will Fuller, there's so much uncertainty about his health history. If you get a good offer for Will Fuller, it makes a whole lot of sense to just not tempt fate and say, yeah, look, he did a lot of offseason work where he got his body right and he understands how not to get injured now. Sure, we'll take your second round pick for Will Fuller, because I don't, as much as I hope that he stays healthy more for the rest of his career, I have to think that he's just naturally injury prone and there's a good chance he's not going to be worth whatever money you pay him.
I think the two guys not named J.J. Watt that you could get a day two pick for, I don't think you're getting a first rounder for any of these guys, including Watt probably, unless a team that is a Super Bowl contender who needs a splash defensively, Seattle, Green Bay, one of those teams. You know, unless you can squeeze a first rounder out of them, I just don't know that the guy exists in the building for the Texans right now who can go make a deal like that. I think that type of deal might exist, but I think you need somebody who's experienced at making deals like that to make it happen. So I don't know that you get a first for anybody. I think Fuller and Roby, Seth, are two guys you could definitely get a day two pick for, a second or a third round pick for. Roby's a guy I'd be hesitant to trade, quite honestly, because I think he's on a good deal and I think he's played well this year. Cooks, maybe you could get a third rounder for if he continues to, you know, if he has a good game again this Sunday like he's had the last couple weeks, he'd be a guy trending up. These other guys, Fells is a guy you get a sixth or a seventh for. Cunningham is a guy who's just not playing well enough to justify his contract right now. Mercilus might be a guy that you you do an Osweiler with and just staple a pick to him just to get out from underneath his salary next year. You know what I mean? His salary next year is like 10 or 11 million bucks. If someone wanted to take on Whitney Mercilus and you tack on one of those one or two of those six-round picks, they've got like 4 or 5 6-round picks the Texans do next year. Staple a couple of those to Whitney and send his contract. I would think of doing that. I really would.
The biggest one here that I don't know, might be the most, it would be a short-sighted decision, would be if you traded away Cunningham. Cunningham has had an abysmal start to a season. He has as many missed tackles right this moment as he had in all of 2019. And yet he's also third in the league in tackles. So he's a mystery who got off to a rough start, but I have to believe it's just a blip, and he's still such a young player. He's got so much upside that I don't think you say goodbye to Zach Cunningham. Yeah. And Bradley Roby, too. He's just too good and solid. You still have so many holes to fill in your secondary. Why on earth would you ship out a guy who's still relatively young and on a reasonable contract and is one of the actual solid members of your secondary so that now you have to go out and find 4 total cornerbacks? I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, the Roby was one of the few moves that O'Brien made here where I'm like, that was a really good move. And I felt it at the time, too. You know that, Seth, from... I was talking about Roby, and I think I don't think you agreed with me, and you wound up being correct in this. I thought Roby would be a guy who could hit the open market and get $14 million a year just based on the solid year, although oft-injured year, he had with the Texans in 2019, but based on potential. You know, he's a former first-round pick. I thought he would command that. Now, he never did hit the market, but maybe he knew which way the wind was blowing because he winds up signing for $10 million a year here. That's a really good deal for the Texans right now.
That's the one. Yeah, that's where I do wonder, because if there's one thing we know about Bill O'Brien, it's that, man, he did not care what the market was. There was a tendency to just go ahead and, you know, they still offered Carlos Hyde way more than anybody else offered him or ended
Roby,
up giving him in free
agency. I feel
like
agency. Roby should fire his agent, even though he got $10 million a year.
He should have gotten record-breaking money.
Yeah.
The problem with Roby was that his track record was one of, I guess, unreliability.
Yeah.
And he didn't really get a chance to completely exercise those demons last year because of his injuries. I feel like he seemed like a model citizen in terms of being a teammate and showing up when he was healthy. But I think the Texans actually had a little bit of luck. It was almost Roby getting injured might have actually been the best thing for the Texans in terms of getting him at a good price.
Got a text message here. I'm curious what you think of this. I like hashing out content things on the air sometime. This is from Donnie. I love the show. We appreciate that. But the trade talk of J.J. Watt gets so tiresome. J.J. isn't going to be traded, period. Please give it a rest.
I wonder why that – I would ask, I guess, why. Why does that person think that J.J. wouldn't get traded? For instance, if J.J. just simply wanted to go to a place – maybe J.J. – honestly, hypothetically – completely hypothetically, but I think this would be a realistic scenario. Maybe J.J. has it in his mind that he only wants to play a few more years, and he doesn't want to sit around and wait to find out if the Texans hire a good coach and a good GM, or if Jack Easterby actually even knows what he's doing. If J.J. Watt wants to go off to a contender, the smart thing, if you set aside your emotions and whatnot, the intelligent thing to do would be to trade J.J. Watt. I would also ask that person that texted in, what would your – this time last year, if I had brought up trading DeAndre Hopkins, would you not have texted that exact same thing?
Yes.
Would you not have said – Sean and I talked about it the morning he got traded. Sean and I had a discussion about how crazy it would be. What's the most absurd thing we could think of? And it was whether the Texans would trade whether they would trade DeAndre Hopkins for Nick Caserio. We was like, okay, something that would never, ever, ever happen. And honestly, that actually would have been a better trade.
Yeah.
That would have been a better trade than what they got. They'd be getting more out of Nick Caserio already than what they're getting out of David Johnson.
Would they be less criticized? It's funny you bring up DeAndre Hopkins, because I thought this yesterday, because David Johnson has not been good. You know, David Johnson's been a huge disappointment. Would they have been better off, especially when you consider that they took on all of David Johnson's contract? Seth, would they have just been better off trading DeAndre Hopkins for a second-round pick and not bringing David Johnson in at all? You know, and going and getting whoever the Carlos Hyde of this year was in a separate deal. You know,
yeah, I'm going to say this, too, because I think there are a lot of people out there doing the Lord's work and sticking up for David Johnson because he's a solid dude and he seems to be, you know, just care about his job. And
I'm rooting for David Johnson. Well, he seems like an awesome guy.
Yeah, but there, I think that at times people are making excuses for David Johnson and pointing out, oh, well, he's getting hit at the line of scrimmage or he's getting hit in the backfield. There are times where that's happening because it's David Johnson's fault, because he's not using a whole lot of vision and hitting the hole properly. He's not hitting the hole hard enough. At times it is the offensive line's fault, but there are just many, many more running backs that would be doing more even with inadequate blocking. David Johnson is one of the worst in the league in terms of yards after contact. Yeah. In terms of number of broken tackles, all of those things. So you can't just look at it and say, well, he's getting hit at the line of scrimmage. Yeah, a lot of other guys get hit at the line of scrimmage and they turn it into a 4-yard gain. That's so right. It's multiple things. It's not just David Johnson. Yes, it's also the offensive line. Yes, it's that they're trying to run out of shotgun all the time, which is a weak and impotent way to actually try to run the football, but still.
There you go. The Texans head coach listener bracket is ongoing. Today's matchup, after a 5 upsetting a 4 yesterday, Brian Schottenheimer pretty soundly defeating Kevin O'Connell in a 4-5. The one today, this is a live 3-seed right here, Seth. 3-seed Arthur Smith. This is in the Rick Smith Regional. 3-seed Arthur Smith versus 6-seed Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator for the Ravens. I would say Arthur Smith, a very live 3-seed based on the recency bias of him helping generate 600 yards of offense against the Texans last week.
Wink Martindale has a certain Bruce Arians appeal to him. Mm. He's got that look of a guy who, you know, has never been polished enough to be a head coach. Maybe he doesn't do well when he has to clean up and wear a suit, and the fancy owner types don't feel comfortable. A lot of times owners tend to go with guys that feel more like CEOs because that's who they've worked with their whole life, is guys like that. So they shy away from a Bruce Arians or somebody who's a little rough around the edges. Boy, this is a tough one for me, Sean.
You sound kind of in on the Wink Martindale experience right now.
Yeah, I kind of am. I think, boy, he would. I don't know if he would grade on me down there for a while, like Rex Ryan. You know, Rex Ryan, when he went up to Buffalo, they sold more season tickets than they had in years because, boy, this is a Buffalo kind of guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like Wink Martindale is kind of a Texas type of guy.
Right.
He's got, like, his shirts cut off. He's one of those guys. You know what he's like? He's like Gardner Minshew's dad. You know, Gardner Minshew's dad is yoked,
yeah,
and yet still, like, he's not in such good shape that he looks vain. That's how Wink Martindale, he looks like kind of a barroom butt kicker.
Yeah.
Like he'll go work out, but his post-workout recovery is going to be 18 beers. Like, he looks like that kind of guy.
Right.
And that feels like he could be hanging out with Clint down in Baytown.
There you go. All right. So
I just talked myself into Wink Martindale.
You did. Well, Seth, get out and vote in the Texans head coach listener bracket for Wink Martindale. So you can go to our Twitter timeline, our Twitter feed, at Sports Radio 610. The poll is up. Go ahead and vote. How is one Texans player one of the best in the league and the worst in the league at the same basic skill? We'll explain next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.